It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Thank you again for the assist, Dusty. It's quarter number two, and we're going to pick up the discussion on it's National Signing Day. So let's talk recruiting. We did talk about Daquan Hardy. Let's get to one other commit that came in this morning, and that is TJ Jones, 6'1", 185 receiver from Florida, which I think is significant. The other significant part of this is he is just the second wide receiver commit. So just that alone probably makes this important.
There's value in numbers, right? So yeah, I think they were intent on getting a second wide receiver. The kid from Indiana, whose name David Bell, committed to Purdue, was high on that list, and I think they arrived at the point where they got the TJ Jones. His name really started to come up about 3 weeks ago. Coaching staff went down to visit him down there. He took an official visit late in January, and so now he commits and signs on signing day. And I think it's a good late get. I think your standards can only be so high. And I also think, really, just in general, with the two kids who have committed so far today, both three stars and both Plan B type guys, Penn State has had some success with Plan B type guys. Kevin Givens was one. Tommy Stevens was one, not as late in the cycle. You know, Nick Bowers was one. Back in the 16 cycle, and I know he hasn't been a star, which brings me to my point, is that I think we as observers and fans, whatever, you have to reimagine what you think Penn State's trying to accomplish by getting a guy. So you're not bringing in 24 kids in a class, 23 kids in a class, with the idea that you want all of them, you think they're going to be stars. I think there's value in adding a guy at the bottom of a class who may only ever be an occasional reserve type player who makes an impact on special teams or becomes a candidate for a return job. There's value in that scholarship. If you get TJ Jones and he is your fifth or sixth wide receiver for the entirety of his career, but he sticks around, he makes an impact on special teams, maybe makes a start in there, makes a big catch, big first down, I think you're getting value for your scholarship money in that case. And that's what I think you have to change your thinking. I think we, you know, when it comes to the NFL draft and signing day, we view everything through a lens of, is this guy going to be a star or not, when there's a lot more shades of gray than that.
And there's two other points on this recruit that I'd like to make. One of them is, I'm not one of those, oh, you know, three stars turn into superstars, five stars turn into duds. Yes, that does happen. But for the majority, I'll take the five-star over the three-star. However, with that said, I think this coaching staff has demonstrated the ability to recruit, get guys who maybe others are not as impressed with, but this coaching staff is. I think they've earned that trust. The second part to this recruitment that I think is important is very simple. He's from Florida, and the more you can get yourself into Florida and recruit from Florida, the better off you are. There are just so many great players down there.
Yeah, and I think part of the real appeal of this 2019 class so far is the progress they've made in the state of Florida, is the type of recruiter that we've seen Jawan Sider prove to be. You knew it, right? You understood that was part of the package when you got him. But to see it unfold and to not only get a guy like John Dunmore, for example, but to hang on to him the whole way through. That's the real test of a coach's mettle in a certain region, is especially when it's far away from your home school, especially when your school's up north. You saw with Justin Fields, it's hard to hang on to those guys where there's a lot of distance when those big time programs start hitting them up more and more and more late in the cycle. And I'm sure that was the case with Dunmore. They held on. They were able to flat out have TJ Jones, and it was clear as day he was a Plan B, but they were able to get him anyway and get a little bit of upside and get a player that they needed. They just needed numbers as much as anything, especially at wide receiver.
They did. And if we're going to call these kids, and I'm not sure it's fair to call them plan B guys. It has such a negative connotation. But the fact that it wasn't a Pennsylvania kid who's maybe grew up a Penn State fan, you went all the way to Florida to get this kid, maybe says a little bit more about him and what the coaching staff thinks of him to go that far to bring him in. And the other point is, if you look at this class in its entirety and the number of four stars, and we could go into the whole blue chip ratio discussion, but a sprinkling of three stars doesn't change the fact that the majority of this class, four stars, five stars, and it's a tremendous recruiting class.
It is, and I think you're going to see a lot of nationally relevant programs adding three stars just like this at the ends of cycles now. Between December and February, I think if you're one of those guys on the fringe, if you're one of those guys who's a three-star recruit who doesn't have the offer that they want yet, it looks like it's going to be pretty wise to not do anything in December, and the demand is going to pick up between December and February. That's what I've learned this recruiting cycle, is that I would hang in there and see if my offer sheet grows, because I think it will.
It, at least through this season, that's definitely the way it has worked. I want to go back to...
And by the way, sorry to interrupt, but it factors... I think this might be one of the outcomes of the transfer portal too, is that more programs have more need this cycle than even last cycle when the December early signing period was introduced.
That is where I was headed, Dusty, exactly. And that's probably not something that's going to change if the system stays as is, because all of a sudden, if the ability to transfer is so much easier now, and you're going to have so many more scholarship players going there, it's just going to open up more scholarships and more availability for this three-star kid.
And more need. What are you supposed to do as a program? You have this opportunity right in front of you. You have, it's clear, it's straightforward. You know what numbers you have. You know what numbers you need. You know who's available through the recruiting process. Invest in maximizing your recruiting class and then figure out the transfer portal later. You don't know how that's going to unfold. I think what for the coaching staffs, between December and February, you're going to lose guys. You're going to maybe have a clue that you're going to get guys, but you're never really going to know, right? These guys don't have to commit by February. They're going to take visits in the spring. They're going to wait and do the right thing and sort that out. So as a coach, you don't know much about where you stand with transfers, truly, before the signing period is over. So why not get all the numbers you possibly can in February and then use that as your guide for getting transfers in?
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Remember, it's time to download the Keystone Sports app. Go to your app store. This is where you could enter to win a free RV for the Blue White weekend. There's a nice little button there. Says, win yourself an RV for the Blue White weekend. Push the button, give us your name, email address, and you'll be entered in the raffle. Again, with the transfer portal, and let's talk about Penn State with it specifically, having lost as many players as they did to the portal, what you also have to remember is the players that went into the portal, a good majority of them are guys who would have never seen playing time anyway, right?
Right.
Let's be candid about that. So what it does is it gives you the opportunity to go back into the recruiting area, go to potential freshmen like Penn State did with these couple players, and they might get a chance to help you out, whereas you've already determined those guys who went into the transfer portal probably aren't going to be helping you out ever.
Right, exactly. And that's the whole dynamic, and how this recruiting cycle is different than last one, is that we're going to see a lot more activity on the transfer front, and you're going to have, you know, this 6-month period to try to fill numbers that you never had to really fill this way before.
Let's look at quickly a couple other names. Nestor, the offensive lineman who Penn State was hoping to flip from Ohio State, he committed to Virginia Tech. Another player, Wisdom Azaboro, is going to North Carolina. I would have liked to have gotten him just for the name alone.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
Which would have been great. Let me ask you this, Dusty. With several of these names, and Penn State so far anyway, getting two of them, do you think James Franklin was expecting to do better today?
I think it looked like wishful thinking to me to get to get Nick Cross or to get Doug Nestor, especially Nestor, who, you know, his market was going to heat up. If he was going to pick a school other than Ohio State, which was no slam dunk, he was going to have his choice of schools. And Penn State made a really good run. I thought they were right there in the mix, but I don't think anybody who follows Penn State recruiting was penciling that in at all. Nick Cross, I guess we'll find out. You might already know by now, but I think in a perfect world, they would have closed a little bit harder with some of these guys, but which is why you saw Jones and you saw Hardy come aboard, is that they had room to spare.
Does this mean they might be hitting the portal harder than what any of us might have expected?
I don't know what the cause and what the effect is, right? So I don't know if they're going to hit the transfer portal harder because they didn't get quite the numbers that they needed. And certainly I felt like they had a need for numbers along the offensive line yet. So I think the transfer portal could really come into play there, especially since that position, having 2 to 3 years of college experience, even if you didn't play a ton, has some value bringing them in as opposed to signing a kid who you know needs 2 or 3 years to develop. So I think between now and springtime, I would expect at least one offensive lineman to come in. I know they're in on like the kid from Virginia, but it just makes a lot of sense for Penn State to be in that market now, especially without Nestor.
And to do a little comparison to baseball free agency, where teams like to bring players in on a short-term contract because there's not that great a commitment, that's essentially what we might see here. From Penn State's perspective, if they have openings on the 85-man scholarship, is there any harm in bringing in and 3, 4, 5 of these guys? It's a one-year basis, 2 years maximum, and then they're gone. So they're not going to take up those scholarships that you're looking to offer to the 2020 kids, say.
Yeah, and I think the free agency term is a good way to look at all this, because that's what it is. And I don't say that with a negative connotation. I just think that facts are facts right now. I think that student athletes didn't have a lot of rights when it came to what their commitment meant versus what the school's commitment to them meant. They could be dropped on a dime if the school decided to. Technically, 1 year at a time, they can go year by year. So I think it makes sense for an 18-year-old kid to have the ability to commit one place and be like, you know what, life has taken me somewhere else. I'd like to make a change. And that's what the whole transfer portal does. But it creates a lot of these type ripple effects, making it more like free agency.
All right. That's it for quarter number two. This whole conversation, I'm sure, will be picked up by Ross, Andy, and Bob, where they'll have more information than we do. Stick around. We're coming up with Brandon Pelter and wrestling.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.